welcome, welcome to 2021, our very first podcast of the new year. And good morning. I don't know about you all, but I'm glad to be alive and live on this podcast in 2021. And hey, I'm all about mindset, and I'm excited about what the new year will bring. And, you know, every January I get excited because every January I am in, I think it's, is it San Antonio? San Antonio? Oh, no, I'm in Austin. I'm in Austin, Texas at the University of Texas, Austin at the annual Black Student Athlete Summit. And this January shall be no different. So as soon as I say goodbye to you all this morning, I will jump on the virtual Black Student Athlete Summit. I'm not speaking, but you know I got some clients speaking. I got clients speaking. I got sponsors speaking. I have members of the Chatner Garden family speaking. I'm excited. I tell everybody I am offline Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of this week. You will get a voicemail if you try to call. And so it starts today, but guess what? Every year, Chatner Garden members, and we gain some new members every time we go to this breakfast. So we have a breakfast every year. I wanna say this would probably be about our third or fourth one. And I'm trying to tell you, what grows from this breakfast is phenomenal. And, you know, traditionally, almost everyone who used to have live events and has gone virtual, that almost, see, they got to look at the positive. You know, although we're not able to hug and touch each other, we're able to grow virtually. And so, hey, guess what? Guess what? We have 54 people registered for our virtual breakfast tomorrow. Yes, tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Yes, I know the program doesn't, you know, the Black Student Athlete Summit doesn't begin until 11 o'clock. But I know we're 54 people. We're going to need time to network. So I didn't want to have any kind of, oh, I got to go get dressed, got to go. None of that, none of that. Come and bring, have your breakfast in front of you. For those of you who read, you have your tea with you, and you, when you join, you'll figure out what I say if you read. But there's a message, you know, there's a message on all that I do. Let me just say this. In 2021, please read all fine print, okay? Let that be something, I mean, honestly, even when you get your receipts back, read the fine print. Okay? Because people count on you not reading. They do. And not, and so when things happen, it's like, well, I didn't see that. It was there. So slow down, folks. Read the fine print. So again, Happy New Year. January, in my mind, means Black Student Athlete Summit. There are some phenomenal presentations to take place. Several individuals have popped up and put their speaking in their topics, and I try to put them inside the group. Again, the Black Student Athlete Summit is not a sponsor of a Chatner Garden podcast. However, I promote you all that are speaking, and I think this is a great platform, especially for those individuals who have both feet in the practical, meaning athletic administrator, and scholar, meaning that you are seeking your PhD. You know, in order for us to meet some of the benchmarks we want to reach for our student athletes, we're going to have to learn how to dance together. Those who research and those who carry out the day-to-day with our student athletes. And when I say I found my tribe, I found my tribe. And it's really a great program. I know the early bird has passed. Early bird was December 31st. But it is well worth it, I'm here to tell you. But our breakfast is free. So if you want to jump on in and join us tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, go to Monique A.J. Smith, with an S at the end, ZoomRoom.com. Monique A.J. Smith, ZoomRoom.com. That's the S between Smith and Zoom. It's like a apostrophe S. You know, I must admit, that was a smart move on my place to purchase the Zoom Room under my name, because I use it a lot for any of my functions that I have on Zoom. And I don't have to try to do the bit and here and the backslash. So, again, go to Monique A.J. Smith's ZoomRoom.com. If you don't know exactly what I mean when I said I purchased my domain name so I could put it on different things, just email me and we can talk about it. But that's what you need to have. So that, especially if you are a movable person, and we are all virtual, so that you can have people find you and you might have different things, go ahead and purchase a domain so people can find you, okay? This is definitely for my Speakers Bureau people who are embarking upon their next. Now, speaking of that, hey, I just saw another draft of the Significance magazine. I'm excited. You hear me? Excited. You're going to be, I think it's going to be past 28 pages. So, hey, it hits the stand in March. We're going to be doing some Facebook Lives with the contributors right before Christmas. Because I just knew it was a great gift. I had Dr. Jamie Purnell talking about her waist beads. Hey, I think it's a great gift. You know, even if you don't feel comfortable picking out a waist bead for someone else, she has gift certificates that you can give to individuals. And especially, you know, for the new year and just set the tone. You know, it's one thing to make a promise to yourself. But sometimes you need some type of symbol to help you with that. And I was impressed with her explanation for the waist beads, number one. And then she gave some information about the colors and what they meant. So if you want to, you know, revisit that, just go back to the Chat in the Garden Facebook group and just go watch that Facebook Live. But I'm trying to tell you, you need to purchase or subscribe to Significance Magazine, because it's going to be fire. I'm serious. I'm really excited about showcasing for individuals monetize and specialized knowledge. It's going to be great. There's 16 contributors in various areas. And, you know, hey, I'm just glad that I'm able to expose for elevation. That's the key I want to be. In order to elevate and to advance, you have to know how to market yourself. You have to market your specialized knowledge. And it's not like you are an entrepreneur. It is that you are marketing yourself as a leader, as an expert in an area. And athletics is very unique, but even within athletics, there's a lot of uniqueness. And so that's what I really want to showcase. So is there a problem that you were able to solve? Did you have steps in how you did that? Just think of, you know, you go to a conference and someone gives you the step-by-step for something. So what is your secret sauce? Because I'm here to tell you, if you've been successful, you can always repeat success, but you need to have some steps in how you did that. And that's what people will actually, to be honest with you, hire you as a consultant for, to find out your steps. So that's how I'm trying to create that for you in your mindset. And I wanted to do a magazine instead of an anthology, because I thought that pictures tell a story just as much as words. And so, hey, if you don't delay, because honestly, I'm going to be real honest, I'm really about showcasing individuals in the magazine. You won't hear me try to promote selling of the magazine as much. I'm trying to get the word out, for the individuals. So I create a store. Yes, create a store. You go to payhip, pay, P-A-Y, hip.com, / Seeds of Empowerment. And I have a store. So the magazine, is only $15. But you can subscribe, because it's only going to be two a year, for $25. And so that's inside the store. Plus, I have the T-shirt that I forgot, you can't see me, Chat in the Garden T-shirt. Plus, we have the book that I have a chapter about my athletic administrative journey. And I'm really proud of that because I hear people respond back to me. One young lady, which I thought was just, it just warmed my heart. Yeah, because you all want these AD jobs and these top jobs. But many of you, skill-wise, may be there, but mindset may not be. And it's not just unique to women, okay? I just want to be clear. I'm doing Obama's book, and he talks about the agony of having to make tough decisions, okay? So there is a process in your mind about how to make tough decisions, and sometimes they wear on you. And how you process, the perspective that you use, how the resiliency of making tough decisions, the science, their tools to use. And so I cover that in my chapter, which I call Removing, the book is called Removing the Face, but my chapter is Public Figure Mask. So anybody who's in a public figure just need to understand that. And honestly, when I'm listening to the audiobook of President Obama, I'm going like, yes, I'm on the right track. And so one young lady who's an athletic director, she you know, again, this COVID situation is tough because as soon as you make one decision, you know, you got to change it. And somebody else sends something else down and you got to change the concept. And then you let people down, and then you get the young people, and then you get the parents. You know, people want to be safe, but they don't want to be led to be safe. Let me say it again. People want to be safe, but they don't want to be led to be safe. And you think the poor little stewardess on an airplane catch hell. Oh, my goodness. Let you have a athletic event. And you tell folks to go a different direction so they don't have to come in contact with people who have not been sitting with them or, woo! So you really got to get your mind right. And I'm not telling you something that I read. I'm telling you something I live every day. You know, I work at a facility with my students. That's what gives me joy, helping them become logistic personnel. And how to create COVID policies and procedures. Because really, you can put it on paper, but you got to actually live it to see, does this work? No, we should do it this way. So we just had a track meet yesterday. And again, hey, it looks nice on paper, but when you go into real life, you got to be able to adjust. And you can't take it personal, which are the tools I talk about in publicfiguremask.com. But let me tell you this, and it's coming soon. I don't know if she's ready for it. But, hey, we do touchless waivers. Yeah, all that paper and you email and have people fill it out, especially if you do have sporting events. You need to have some type of way of contact list. This way to say a timestamp where people walk in, And then for those who are in marketing, which we're going to be talking about that today a little bit, you have everybody's email that they came in and when they came in. So it's not just for COVID, you know, it can be for future planning. And so I got this skill. I paid, again, this is a specialized knowledge, Ava Amaker of A&A Athletic Consultant. She trained me on how to do touchless waivers, and she has that available to you. Hey, best money I spent, I must admit, because guess what? Now, the facility, whenever they want to have a QR code, it's one thing to make a QR code, but a QR code goes into a spreadsheet. So then when the people fill the waiver out, it automatically appears on the list. Y'all, it's the best thing since sliced bread. You hear me? We created for the walker program. These elderly people come into the facility that walk, and they fill it out. And actually, they're having fun because they're learning about their phone. Isn't that funny? Ha ha. Secondly, use it for the participants, the young people that come in, all age groups. You can also email it to them so the parents can fill it out. But again, it becomes an automatic list, and then when they walk in, oh, what's your name? Okay, you're straight. And then thirdly, for all events that occur, the spectators. Really great for spectators because you actually know when they were in time stamped in. If you have an occurrence and you have a way, you have to have a need to contact them. So, again, hopefully I can get that information to you. But if you're interested, just email me at MoniqueAJSmith@CaesarEmpowerment.info, and I will put you in contact with Ava. I always want to call her A-Maker because she's the champion maker, but her name is Amaker. But, yeah, it's great information. And, again, when I grow, you grow. And guess what? The Chat in the Garden is going to be on the airwaves tonight. I'm on Instagram Live tonight with Afros and Audio. Afros and Audio. And I'm going to just talk about the success we've had with the Chat in the Garden, 7 seasons, and how we grow individuals. And, hey, people think what we're doing is great here, and we are blessed. We are blessed. And one of the reasons I'm able to do this is by sponsors such as Jolie Robinson of Stepping to Win. She is an award-winning champion coach, former Division I coach, and now she's an administrator. And so knowing how she has been able to be a champion on the sideline, she's going to be on the sideline coaching us in the financial investor game. And, you know, you don't get fooled with everybody dealing with money. But when you have a proven winner who's actually, you know, lived a life of athletic administration, and here, let me just be clear, you must have more than one income stream. And 2021 and beyond, you must have additional income stream. Hey, folks, I just got, I think it was $500 in the mail yesterday. What's today? No, yeah. I just put it in my checking account for my annuity. Yeah, for my annuity that is set to come out every year, okay? That's another income stream. Yeah, and I purposely have it after Christmas because if I got it before Christmas, I might have spent it on somebody. So it helps me pay for, if I put anything on the credit card, it helps me pay for that, or just starts me off right for 2021. Hey, it's all about perspective, okay? Perspective. So if you're interested in learning about the investor game, and it's a little different. I remember about 20 years ago, people had an investment club. And people put their money together, and they have fun looking at the different companies they want to put money in and whatnot. You don't hear that anymore because guess what? Investing's a little different, number one. You got different vehicles. And then there's a lot of things in place to make up for the shortfall meaning for 2008 and 2009, you know, when the financial situation just went plumbing. And so knowing that there are vehicles that are put in place, and I hate to tell y'all this, but there may become a time you no longer walk into a bank. And then you say, what'd you say? I'm just trying to tell you. So, hey, I just plant seeds. I'm just trying to put this in your mind. So, hook up with Jolie Robinson by texting her at 980-298-2231. Again, 980-298-2231. Or email her at jrobinson@stepping2win. Stepping2win.com. And if you're texting her, just say you're ready to step to win. You're stepping to win. And I think it's really unique because, again, you have to really do step into this game. And, you know, she wants to educate you first before you put some money in. And either do that or do you want to take a whole course on it on a college campus or something? No, just hook up with somebody who's doing it, who's successful in it, and just educate yourself. Educate yourself, and let's see if we can all can win in this financial game. Again, I'm all about resources. And, yeah, this individual is also speaking. She's speaking at the Black Student Athlete Summit. So excited about this, Tawana Smith. Tawana Smith is a longtime media partner, sponsor for Chat in the Garden. And her book, Surviving the Lights, A Professional Athlete's Playbook to Avoiding the Curse, is a resource that I endorse. And don't just take my word for it. The NFL purchased the book for all the participants for not this year. They didn't have Celebration Bowl this year. But the last time they had Celebration Bowl, all of the male students that participated received the book. And it's really great because it has, for those who are scholars, she actually writes like a scholar, which is why I planted the seed of her getting her PhD. So this is where I say about the practical and the scholars coming together. She actually has peer commentary about telling our young people what to expect on the other side after they go professional. And I think it's great. She also actually has a virtual piece to this. But I'm just pushing from here is the baseline of the book. And the book is in three different formats on Amazon.com. It is audiobook, paperback, and ebook. So, again, check out Surviving the Lights, a Professional Athlete's Playbook to Avoiding the Curse. Well, we have come to the time to welcome our 2021, our first guest of the year, and it is Natalie Carter, Senior Associate AD for Fan Engagement at Yale University. Welcome to the garden, Natalie.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. This is exciting. This is exciting because I don't believe we probably met at NACWA, but we've never had a nice sit-down talk before, have we?
No. I've definitely seen you at a lot of different conferences, but we haven't actually been able to have a conversation, so I'm looking forward to that.
And this is what we do. So you all are just going to listen in on our chat. So we're going to just begin with you talking about your journey from college to your current position.
Yeah. So I went to Georgia State University. I played soccer there for 4 years. I absolutely love Atlanta. I would have to say it was a culture shock for me just growing up in Denver and playing soccer and then moving to Atlanta and kind of figuring out who I was. Often being the token, and then now in a place where I'm like, oh, my God, there's a Mecca. I didn't know there were so many, you know, black and brown people And I loved my time in college. I loved playing soccer. It was honestly all that I was focused on was soccer. It was definitely my first love. So I then like transitioned outside of my college life, and didn't really know what to do next because I was, again, solely focused on playing my sport. I had some really great mentors in Mary McElroy, who was the AD at the time at Georgia State, as well as Courtney Lovely, who was her assistant. It was the first time that I can ever remember being on a college campus and seeing Black women in administrative positions. So as part of SAC, I got to pick their brains a lot. And once I graduated, they really kind of encouraged me to think about pursuing a position in college athletics. And at that time, it's usually you think about, well, I'm not a coach, so I don't really know what I would do. But they were great with kind of just breaking down things for me as far as how college athletics works. But it was hard to find a job initially. So I was able to find a position at Fox Sports Network. So I worked there in ad sales for about 2 years, but continued to apply for different college athletics positions. Honestly, I just would log on to NCAA Marketplace and anything that I felt like I could do, I would apply for. So I ended up getting a call back from Colgate University, and honestly, I'd applied for so many jobs, I didn't even remember where it was or who it was, but I was like, interview, I'll take it. As long as it's paid, it's not another internship, I'll go for it. So when I went, I don't know if you've been to Colgate before, but it is in upstate New York. It is the exact opposite of Atlanta. There are hardly any people of color. It is rural. It is in the middle of nowhere. It's a gorgeous campus. But I knew that I needed to get a foot in the door, but I also recognized that it was going to be an incredibly uncomfortable journey because there were so many unknowns. I didn't have any family, but I was determined to get in the door. So once I got there, I applied for a ticketing position. I didn't get the job. Vicky Chun, who is our current AD at Yale, and also served as an AD at Colgate, gave me a call. And she was like, well, I have good news and bad news. And I'd never gotten that response before. So I'm like, okay, where's this going to go? And she said, you know, you didn't get the ticketing position because I didn't have any compliance background. But she said, you know, we're looking for a compliance assistant position. And we know that you're interested in events. So you'll work in compliance and then you'll also help with marketing and events. So I said, all right, I'll take it. And I packed up and I drove from Atlanta to Hamilton, New York. And that's kind of how I started my career. I didn't know anybody. So I was open to doing anything that they needed me to do, which was great because it's also a smaller university. So you are able to have your hands in a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. Vicky wasn't the AD at the time, but she was promoted to the AD probably maybe 6 months after I was there.
Okay.
And she did a total reorg. And, you know, I'm still kind of getting my feet wet, trying to figure out what I like. And she said, you've done a great job helping marketing. I really didn't like compliance. Compliance is for very, like, you have to really enjoy compliance, I feel like, to really be able to, like, wrap your hands around it. And I was recognizing that that wasn't me.
Right.
But I love the creative side. I love planning. I love the community. So she said, I'm going to promote you to assistant AD for marketing. And, you know, I was so nervous. I'm like, I just got here, but I'll go for it. Like, clearly she sees something in me that I don't see.
Right.
And I can say in my time there, I thought it was going to be like 2 or 3 years and then I'll find the next thing. And every time I went to her and said, I think I'm going to start looking for another position, she was always like, well, what else do you want to learn? Well, let me see if I can give you some more money. Like, we'll see if we can get you on some committees. So she knew what she was doing. And 2 years turned into 8, 9 years. And it was probably one of the best experiences I've had, even though there were a lot of really uncomfortable moments. I learned a lot from that time there. And I am always thankful to her for that because she always pushed for me. She always encouraged me. And that's honestly how I got to Yale. So once she got the AD position at Yale, She was there for a year and then called and said, hey, I have an open position and I would love for you to come. And that's how I ended up here.
And you're doing what here?
So at Yale, I'm the Senior Associate Athletic Director for Fan Engagement.
Okay, we got some questions pertaining to that title, so I'll just hold off from there. All right,
yep.
So I want to deep dive in some things. Okay, mm-hmm. So you didn't mention too much about the internship with Georgia Soccer Association. Can you dial back and talk about that?
Yeah, so I did that kind of right out of college. So Georgia Soccer is a huge organization. So what I did there was I helped with some of their tournament planning, some of the marketing. It was a lot of grassroots marketing, so we would go to some of the other local tournaments and games and set up tables and, you know, make sure that people knew that the tournament was coming up. We were still trying to recruit teams to sign up. We had different sponsorship things we had to fulfill with some of, like, the local grocery stores and things. So we would help organize little concerts, again, mostly at community events. And then there's a lot of mailing information that went out for coaches to start registering their teams. There would be training sessions for coaches that we would help organize so that the trainers for the coaches could actually go through all of their clinics. So it was a lot of logistics, a lot of communication with a lot of different groups, a lot of different ages. So it was really helpful to kind of learn how to interact with different people on different levels, especially just coming out of college.
So how did you get that position?
I honestly found it online and I applied and they called me in for an interview and they ended up accepting me.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, I've had multiple times where I just didn't know anyone and I just went for it and it happened to work out.
So that's what many people listen to the podcast for. They want to know or contact me. How do I get that next position or that first position? And you seek and you apply. And you,
right.
I mean, there is this fear, and there's some truth to it, that cold calling doesn't work and you got to know somebody. And that's fine, but you still got to do both.
Right. Absolutely.
Okay. Now, and so you told me you didn't like compliance, and I get that. Because I teach collegiate athletic administration at Hampton, and I try to tell them about the entry-level positions, you know. And everybody's like, I don't want to be the police person. And I was like, well, no, just think of it as an advocate. Girl, can't get anybody. I think out of 4 or 5 years teaching it, I think I might have gotten two that want to be in it. Yeah. So that's not odd. But talk to me a little bit about the sales rep piece at Fox Sports. Did you like the sales part or not?
I didn't mind it. And for my end, there wasn't a ton of sales. I did more of like ticket fulfillment for our sponsors. So we would have folks coming from, you know, some of the universities that had the bowl games. We'd have tickets for that. Or we did a lot with, you know, the Atlanta Hawks. And at that time, I think it was the I can't remember the hockey team's name. But we had a hockey team at the time. So we would get tickets in for that. And then as some of our top sales folks would bring people into Atlanta to have different meetings, and we would make sure that they had the tickets that they needed and that the suite was set up as needed. Every once in a while, they would have us reach out to do some cold calling, which I think is part of what gave me the confidence to really just kind of apply for things, because you get used to hearing the no's.
Right, there you go. That's
and
what
you know that,
to.
Yep, every no, you know, you feel like, okay, I'm getting close. Somebody's going to say yes at some point. And when you get to that yes, it's like, it feels so good because you worked through it and you got there.
Yeah, that's the key, work through it. Work through the no's. I think that's it. Because that's another one of those entry-level positions straight out of school. And And then there's one thing I want to get to before I go to break. And I'm not sure I'll write this down. Work through the nose. I like that. You were co-founder of Raiders of Color Connect program.
Mm-hmm.
What school was that? And tell me a little bit more about that. And where yeah. and that's your legacy if they're still going on.
Yeah, so that was at Colgate. And we actually just recently started something similar at Yale. So that was something that Vicki and I worked together on. So Raider of Color Connect kind of came about because I was the only black woman that was on our administrative staff. And where my office was located, it was kind of near the basketball courts, but also like near the training room. So students always walked past my office. And there are always, you know, students of color that way in my office, whether it's me just saying hello or they just popping in and talking or actually having things that they were going through that they're working through. And I started to connect the dots like, oh, well, okay, so-and-so on, you know, the volleyball team who's right around the corner was just in my office talking about the same thing. Do you know her? Do you know him? And it was always like, no, we don't know who they are because they silo themselves, right? They just stay within their team.
Right.
And you get it, like that's, you're used to being in that comfortable space. So we thought, Vicki and I were like, okay, so let's put together a space where we can bring people together and our students of color can connect because, you know, they have their class schedules, they have their practice schedules, they have dinner, they have all these, they're over-scheduled. We know that, we over-program our kids. So let's just create a space where it's not about coming and listening to a lecturer.
Mm.
It's just coming, being yourself, like being open, meeting new people from other teams. And eventually we incorporated folks from across campus. I have to be honest, the first one, we were so excited and we bought so much food because we just knew we were going to have a huge turnout. And we might have had 5 students come. And
mm-hmm.
I'll say we had a great time, but it was kind of deflating, like, okay, we need to rethink how we're kind of approaching this. So we brought in some students that we knew were, you know, well-connected among the teams. And
mm-hmm.
as we kind of continued to push it and do it, it grew and grew and grew. And then we started incorporating our cultural center. So
mm-hmm.
now we're pulling students from, you know, our Black Student Association, our African Student Association, and our Asian groups. And then we started inviting faculty and staff and their families. So now it's like another layer. So our biggest event, and when I was there, actually, Torian Houston, who I think is at Rice, we would work on this together as well. So we put together an event when Black Panther came out, and we bought tickets for any students that wanted to come. We had one theater in Hamilton. It's a very small town. So we pretty much bought out the theater, and we had close to 100 students of color that came.
Wow.
And it was an awesome event. We had pizza, we had wings, and it was just cool for them to be able to see each other. Like, you could tell there was a lot of new friend connections that were made.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, folks just bringing people from other groups that we didn't even know about, and it was a great opportunity for us to say, hey, we also have this rock group, Raiders of Color Connect, and we're having this next event. And, you know, it started to grow. And when your staff can also come and bring their families, because there's not a ton of staff of color there, like everyone kind of finds that connection. And like I said, it wasn't lecturing. It was like game nights, or we would just, you know, listen to music or have open conversation about whatever you guys want to discuss. And I think they really appreciated being able to have that safe space among their peers and with us as administrators.
Now, did you hear me talk about the magazine at the top of the
I did.
Hour?
Mm-hmm.
So this is what I mean about your secret sauce. Because you
mm-hmm.
just said that you created something similar where you are. So the key factor is you. And if you've done it once, you can do it again.
Mm-hmm.
Have you presented this phenomenal program in a conference format?
I have not. I am hopeful to, especially with the one that we have at Yale. So the one that we have now is called Yale Bulldogs for Change. And we have 12, I believe, student athletes of color from different teams. And it kind of came about because we had a Zoom call and just kind of like a invitation to all of our black student-athletes, and then we had another one that was open to all student-athletes of color. And we wanted to know how we could better support them in their student-athlete experience, because mm-hmm. we didn't want them to just survive their 4 years. Mm-hmm. We want them to really be able to thrive, and if they have things that we can celebrate, we want to do that. And if there's mm-hmm. challenges that you need to work through, we want to be able to give you the support to be able to do that. And to do that at a predominantly white institution isn't easy. So mm-hmm. I think, too, in the past, it sounded like there were administrators that said that they would do that, and it didn't happen. So there was a lot mm-hmm. of apprehension. So we definitely had to be intentional about building trust. Mm-hmm. But we got some really good nuggets from the conversation. So we ended up creating YBC. They had kind of four main pillars, if you will, that they wanted to approach. So the first was kind of making sure that students of color that are committed first years have someone that can reach out to them to mm-hmm. welcome them before they get to campus, so that they have a resource on top of all the things, again, that they're trying to do, get to practice, find their classes, find a friend group. They at least have someone that they can connect to before they get to campus. Mm-hmm. The other thing they want to do is really focus on building safe spaces and community, and that's through, you know, our cultural centers and programming that we'll put on. They want to give back to their New Haven community. That was very important to them. And then also partnering with SAC to help raise awareness about social justice issues. So we just started this last semester. It's mm-hmm. been pretty successful so far. They've done a New Haven Reads book drive where they collected close to 200 books written by authors of color to donate to a local like community library organization that we have. They've also did, they came up with this on their own, the Bulldog Ballot Challenge. So they worked with our staff and got every student athlete and coach that was eligible registered by voter registration day to vote in the election. So they really have a lot of really good ideas. They just needed a platform and obviously finances to be able to do so. But it really is a place where we want people to see before they even come to Yale that it's a place where we welcome and we understand mm-hmm. that people of color have a different student-athlete experience. We acknowledge that. We're working on our coaches with that, and we're also trying to make sure that there's a platform that we can advocate for those students.
Wow. You're talking about a seed you just planted. And we got to go to break, but I do want to say this. So the key thing I want people to hear is the fact that you're doing this and you're not under life skills. You are mm-hmm. associate AD for fan engagement. And mm-hmm. so you don't have to have that title. You see, this is why I say it becomes your specialized knowledge, because you've done mm-hmm. that in two institutions. I'm sure you learned from best practices from the first time you did it, but you also spend it for where you are. And, Vicky's also been at both places. I remember when Vicky was an intern. So, mm-hmm. but it's key for you to own it and to be able to share. And I'm not going to – you said you have not spoken at the conference, but I will say check out the Black Student Athlete Summit. I think that would be perfect for you. I'm doing coaching with you right now. I should have asked first. But that would be perfect for you, and I would love to talk with you about putting a piece in the magazine on that, because this definitely is something that's needed for a time such as this. So
mm-hmm. Agreed.
I'm excited.
Yeah. So I just found out about the Black Student Athlete Summit, what, year before last?
Okay.
So we have 11 students that are enrolled for this week, and then five coaches/administrators. So we asked our head football coach, head basketball, men's and women's basketball coaches, and conditioning coaches to also attend. So we are hopeful to do much more with Black Student Athlete Summit in the future with our staff and our students.
And I can see it now. The next year, we will see you on the program presenting.
Mm-hmm. I would
yes.
love that.
Okay. All righty. So we're going to take a short break right here in the chat in the garden, and we're talking some really great stuff.
Hello, I am Jolie Robinson, a retired collegiate head women's basketball coach and now a wealthy trader and business owner. Are you tired of living paycheck to paycheck? Do you feel financially stuck or strained? Or maybe you just want to make some extra money? If you said yes to any of these questions, then what are you waiting for? Contact me, 980-298-2231. It has truly changed my finances and life, and I just want to share this with everyone. This could be the change you're looking for.
This is Alva Champion Amaker of A&A Athletic Consulting and Vigilant Safety Training Center. My investment to become a member of the Advanced Academy is one of the best decisions I've made in my business and personal growth journey. Working with Monique has provided the network to connect and collaborate with some phenomenal women and leaders, exposed me to literature for growth, and opportunities to share my skill sets and knowledge. Her candid approach in the one-on-one sessions make me more accountable for taking the necessary steps toward my advanced success. Thank you, Monique, and I appreciate you.
Why do colleges support student athletes pursuing every profession except professional sports? Why are they treated as just students when they're athletes, knowing that they need help surviving their lives? I'm Tawana Smith, and as a former Division I and pro athlete and now best-selling author, I've created a transition system specifically for student athletes called Surviving the Lights. For more information, visit www.survivingthelights.com to learn how we can change the game together.
Chat in the Garden. I'm your host, Monique A.J. Smith, here in the Chat in the Garden where significance blooms in athletics and sports. Well, I do want to give a shout-out. I already got this answer, already answered. Fema Aylord, assistant AD at Roberts Wesleyan College, she had a question about what were you doing in regards to diversity, inclusion, and promoting social justice at Yale. So we've already addressed that, but I just want to give her a shout-out for that. But I want to jump on down here to Natale Miller. She is a person who actually ran upon her at another conference. She is a human resource person for the United States Postal Service, but she is dying to get in the human resource with a sports team or athletics. And so she has embarked upon grad school. She's been talking to me, and I've been trying to help her out, but she went ahead and did this. So her question is she would like to know, what is fan engagement at Yale? Also another, Dr. Delise Kofi, who is going to be a contributor to the magazine in the fall. She also says, I'm not familiar with the responsibilities of the position. And she would like to know, what is all involved with your position and the things you've done to be successful in engagement. So I combine those two questions, and I think we only got like 10 minutes, so you got it all.
Okay. So I actually get this question a lot, what does fan engagement mean? And honestly, I've probably tried to explain it to my parents about 20 times, and they still don't understand what I do. So I totally get the question. So I think if you're thinking from a game day perspective and you think about fan engagement, it's a lot of moving parts. So it's the music. It's, you know, the concession staff. It's advertising, in-game, PA announcements. If there's any kind of events or awareness games, anything that pertains to customer service around the game. If we have a fan zone outside, it's part of coordinating what that looks like and when everyone's getting there. It's making sure that timing sheets are correct. Everything that you see on the video board, whether it's a contest or sponsor fulfillment, or even the videos that we're playing, all of that kind of plays a part in what game day fan engagement looks like. And at Yale, we also have a creative services team that helps with a lot of our graphics and social media. So we work together weekly on what the next couple weeks look like for our events. We do have 35 varsity sports, which is a lot, but we try to focus on our ticketed sports. And then we kind of go through, you know, soccers and volleyballs, and, you know, we try to spread the love, if you will, as best we can. But the focus, primary focus is generally on those sports that we ticket for, which are men's and women's basketball, football, men's lacrosse, and men's ice hockey. And obviously there's not a lot of women's sports on there. So that's where I really try to be intentional about what the next sports on that list are that we focus on, even if it's just one or two events that we're trying to really get community and students to make sure that it is kind of spreading the love across the board.
Wow. So fan engagement is in-game. And so are you all having sports now?
So we're not. Our spring was canceled, fall was canceled, winter has been canceled. We're waiting to hear what they're going to say, what the presidents are going to tell us about the spring sports still. But this is kind of, I guess, the silver lining when it goes back to the diversity and inclusion and belonging piece, because, again, I'm the only Black woman on our staff, and if we had all of these sports going on, that would take up all of my time. So this has allowed me to be able to focus on that piece. But I am so ready to get back to, you know, being in the arenas and community engagement and bringing people in. That's what I love to do. I think especially with this university and where it's located in New Haven, there's so much potential for the amount of different groups and diverse groups that we can bring in. So, like, for example, with our group ticketing, I found this Double Dutch club that was randomly came across on Facebook and invited them to come. And when I say they had a standing ovation after they finished, and they've come back to so many other games, not just because they were performing, but because they really enjoyed their experience. And, you know, they bring brothers and sisters, and they bring their parents. And so that's kind of how we start, like, our grassroots, if you will, and really focusing on a lot of youth organizations, because we know that that brings families. And then once we understand more about the parents or the guardians, okay, where are you working? Like, maybe we can work with your organization to see if you guys want to do anything with your employees, right? So then there's another layer that we can add on to try to draw people in. We do the same thing with local schools, local organizations. So that's what I love, is there's no day that's like another day in what I do. And you're just always meeting new people and connecting, which I love to do.
So how are you staying engaged with fans when there's no actual contest?
Yeah, so that has been, unfortunately, very minimal on my end, because we have just been really shut down. Our creative team has done a lot with different social media things. We did have an event, a virtual event that we did for our Yale-Harvard week. Because that's our biggest football game of the year.
Right.
So it was more of like trivia and then sending out prize packs. But outside of that, we really haven't been able to do much because we have been pretty much on pause.
So with this virtual, so I can give you an idea. So with this virtual, did you show previous games? I mean, were they with fans? Did you have interviews with former players? I mean, what were some of the things that you did?
Yeah, so there were interviews with our head coach. There were interviews with alumni, and it was kind of like alumni services. Our alumni office planned the bulk of the event, but we were more of like the engagement with the prizes and trivia and that kind of thing. And then they did replay, I think for a month they replayed some of the games, but even that was tough because the rights that we hold and don't hold for some games is like, you can play this one, but you can't play that one. So again, our creative team had to do a lot with what aired and what we had the rights to.
but it was a huge connection piece from our alumni office because they were able to air last year's Yale-Harvard game. So they were able to get folks from all over the country to log in and comment. And I think we also included our band to be able to log on and play the fight song for them.
Well, I want to just drop another seed. I was a associate commissioner for the CIAA, which is a Division II conference.
Mm-hmm.
And, Lincoln University played New Haven. And it was sponsored by the NAACP. It was a big, big thing. And so I attended. They had both teams eat at a church. I think the church had something to do with the civil rights movement or something.
Okay, yeah.
And it was just really powerful because that NAACP, one of the reasons I went was I'm big on, again, education and parents and eligibility, because many
mm-hmm.
parents just don't know about the eligibility
right.
center, and then you compliance and you tell the kid they're not eligible, but they got all A's and look crazy. And so I'm going like, well, look. So I usually would go to these football games or classics, and if they had vendor space, I would have vendor space, and I would bring one of the compliance directors from a different institution.
Mm-hmm.
And to just say, hey, look, you want to play, child play sports. And so I was just there doing what I do, but I was in, and I'd be honest with you, I just finished trying to clean up my office and I saw some of this stuff. So that's why it went off of my brain. I was
mm-hmm.
just impressed with the community feel. So that's another group that you could probably jump into. This was almost 20 years ago, but yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'll definitely add them too. We have a local chapter here, so I will definitely reach out to them.
Yes. And they love that kind of thing, especially when it's sports brings people together. So
it does.
We got something that they want. So that's great. So
mm-hmm.
any closing remarks? I think I covered all the questions that people had. I've enjoyed this conversation. I hope that some of the things we talked about will come into fruition.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you again for having me. I know just for folks listening, wherever you are in your career, I know that this past year has been tough. And, you know, I've definitely had my ups and downs this year. And my mom, who I love dearly, has always told me, you know, let your stumbling blocks be your stepping stones.
Mm-hmm,
and I feel like
mm-hmm.
that was kind of this past year was, you know, was up and down, a lot of stumbling blocks. But I think it's also a great way for you to look forward on, okay, now I know some of the things that I want to pursue or things, challenges, you know, that you want to overcome based on those stumbling blocks from this past year, which will definitely lead to success. So, again, I just want to thank you for this platform and for asking me to come on. I really enjoyed this conversation, and I'm looking forward to jumping on the Black Student Athlete Summit as well this week.
Oh, thank you so much. Hey, thank you to our engineer, Jamla Harrison of Refined Solutions. Join us next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for updates on show guests and podcasts. Follow us on Facebook's A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith. Have a significant rest of the day.
Thank you.